The word of God.
The word of God.
And God's word.
And God's word.
Is devil destruction power.
Is devil destruction power.
My Bible.
My Bible.
I can defeat the devil.
I can defeat the devil.
Every day.
Every day.
This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
My Bible is.
My Bible is.
The word of God.
The word of God.
And God's word.
And God's word.
Is the revelation.
Is the revelation.
Of His will.
Of His will.
Whatever says I am.
Whatever says I am.
That's what I am.
That's what I am.
Whatever says I can do. Return void, but will accomplish that which you please this morning. Father God, I pray that your people will receive this word and they will bear fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100 fold, in the precious name of Jesus. Satan, I rebuke you right now. I command you not to attempt to steal the word from these people. I dismiss you from your assignment. I command you to go. I say, angels of God, you take charge.
Yes.
Holy Spirit, we let you loose.
Amen.
We let you go flow freely in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. You may
yeah,
be seated.
Amen.
In the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Today we are going to do our fourth part of this series that we've been teaching on, Take Responsibility for Thyself. Subtitled, Stop Playing the Blame Game. This is part four, and from as far as I'm concerned, it's the final part. There's a lot to cover in this, but we got so many other things to do, so many other things to teach, so many other things that God is having this church to do that we can't continue with this series. So please get a grasp of what God is trying to say to you in this particular series today. Amen. In other words, playing the game, blame game is for dummies. Yep, it's for dummies. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 in your Bible. If you don't have a Bible, you should be bringing one. Nevertheless, we do have it up on the screen. But let's take a look at it. I will be reading it from my Bible, the King James Version. I just happen to like the King James Version, not because I think it's the best, but I just like those these and thous in there. I mean, it just sounds so poetic. You know, so Shakespearean. As one woman said, if the King James Version was good enough for the Apostle Paul, it's good enough for me. Y'all didn't get that one. The King James Version was written in 1611, okay? It was the Apostle Paul was long dead by then. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. It says, thank you, Rania. Tell them I want their quiet out there. They're going to be out there, be quiet. All right. It says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, the woman, now listen to this, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. I want you to see, the first thing he did in reaction to his sin was not repent. He did not say, oh Jesus, oh Lord, oh God, please forgive me. I know I messed up. I'm so sorry for what I did. No, the first thing he said was, that woman that you gave to me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. The first thing he did, instead of taking responsibility for himself, was to blame his wife and to blame God. You would think we have learned from that by now, but people still continue to do it today. And then we go to verse 13, and it says, and then the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? Now, you know, she should have taken a cue from her husband and said, hey, he's playing the blame game. Let me just acknowledge what I did wrong. But no, what does she do? She turns around and blames the devil. What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, or he deceived me, and I did eat. So, it is very sad that we would have to deal with the consequences of sin today, because instead of them acknowledging their sin and taking responsibility for their sin, they just began to blame each other, the devil, and God. Well, you would think that we have progressed beyond that point, especially those of us who claim to be born again Christians, but unfortunately, we have not. We still continue to blame or place the blame on something other than ourselves when we sin. We blame other people. We blame God. We blame the devil. We blame circumstances. We blame our sickness or our mental condition. Or we blame our ethnicity or so-called orientation. I'm black. I'm Irish. I'm gay. I can't help myself. I was born this way. No. All of these are wrong to blame. Today we will try to deal with these last three. A couple weeks ago we dealt with the tendency to blame other people, and we dealt with a number of things under that category. We talked about the tendency to blame God, and we dealt with a number of ways people blame God when they sin. And then we dealt with the tendency to blame the devil last week. So today we're going to try to deal with the last three, and we'll begin with the tendency to blame circumstances. Are y'all ready for the first one?
Amen.
All right. Now, women, let me warn you ahead of time. This might get you mad at me. Some of you older guys, this might get y'all mad at me. We have a tendency to blame our menstrual cycle, that we're old and cranky, we're tired, we are menopause, or we've been through a lot lately. You know, some of you women, y'all like that. Y'all having y'all monthly thing, and you snap on us, on your husbands, and you go off on us, and you say, baby, I'm on my period, so you just have to deal with it. No, I don't. You need to stop sinning. Amen. Now, I say my wife doesn't do that, all right? I mean, she's very good at, no matter what she's going through, she knows to do right by the Lord. Not so much by me, but because of her Lord. But I do know other women who do that. I grew up around women who do that. Man, when around that time comes, it's like, you know, me and my brother used to try to find another place to live. I'm telling you. But, but we have a tendency, because we're going through certain circumstances, to become nasty and mean, and we think that we are justified in being nasty and mean because of the situation we are dealing with. But see, biblically speaking, no. God does not accept the fact that you are having your monthly cycle, that you are now 45 and you're going through your menopausal stage. And that's right, men, you know, some men, you know, they go through their menopause, they get 45 or 50, you know, get to that middle age or whatever have you, and they have their little menopause, and they want to go into debt and buy brand new sports cars, Ferraris, and hang out with young girls and stuff like that. And their reason, I'm going through menopause. No. Well, I'm old and cranky, so that's why I snap the way I do. No. I'm just tired. I understand that. But hey, you still don't have a right to be to sin against God and against other people. Amen? I know that's hard. I know it's like, Pastor Troy, you just don't understand. Yes, I do. And here's a secret for y'all. I know I look good, but I'm 46 years old. I'm a good looking 46, though. I don't care what you say. I'm the man. Ain't I the man?
Amen.
Yeah, all right. You go, girl. Say for me. But I know what it's like to go through what men are going through at this age, all right? I know the changes in your body. You know, I mean, when you used to be able to run 10 miles a day, and now you can barely run 2 miles. I mean, you know, before you used to fall and be able to get back up and shake it off. Now when you fall, you're like, help! I know what it's like. But you know what? God is not letting, I don't know, maybe he lets you get away with certain things that he just won't let me get away with. When I start saying, oh, I'm only doing this because of the way I've gotten older, God will let me know, no, you're doing it because you're in sin. It's not about your age. It's not about your time of the month. It's not about how long you worked all day. Now, on the other side of this, men, if you know your wife is dealing with that certain issue, or fathers, you know your daughter's dealing with that certain issue of the month, don't provoke them. Amen? Amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Don't provoke people. You know, if they sin and you cause them to sin, then you're in sin. Amen?
Amen?
Be understanding when people are going through certain things. Turn with me to John chapter 16. Because we all go through things in life. In this world, you just got to deal with it. Sin came into this world, and until Jesus comes and fully completes the redemption of this world, he has redeemed us. When you've given your life to Christ, you are redeemed, but we still have a salvation that is yet to come. The redemption of our bodies, the redemption of this physical world, and the purging of its evil. But until then, there are certain things you just have to deal with this in this world. You got to deal with those times of the month things. You got to deal with aging. You got to deal with menopause. You got to deal with working. You got to deal with coming home being tired. Praise God.
Amen.
You got to deal with school, kids. Parents, be understanding when your kids have a hard day at school. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes school is tough sometimes.
Amen.
Especially nowadays. You know, I know when we grew up, you know, we had us a good time. We could get our homework done and still play basketball and hang out with the boys or the girls. But things are just a little bit different these days. You know, now people are coming in school shooting people. That didn't happen in my day. I mean, you know, people did crazy stuff. We beat each other up. But man, you know what I mean? Man, when I got in a fight when I was in school, either I'd get my butt kicked or they kicked their butt. But as soon as we finished, it was like, all right, man, good job. We boys. Nowadays, now you beat somebody up, they come back and kill you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, man. So, you know, be understanding, parents, okay? John chapter 16, verse 33, it says, these things I have spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have what?
Peace.
Trouble, tribulation. But be of good cheer. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Jesus says for you to, in this world, you're going to have trouble. What is trouble? All the things you're dealing with. That monthly thing, the menopause thing, the school thing, the coming home from work tired thing. You're going to deal with all those troubles. You're going to deal with a boss who's nasty to you. You're going to deal with co-workers who are just mean and ugly, and you're trying to live a Christ-like life, and you want to just cuss them out, and you want to just say, let's talk about this in the bathroom. And only one of you come out of the bathroom, and mostly it's you. I mean, you just want to deal with it. You know, you're going through these things. You're going through trials in life. But the Bible says, even in the midst of tribulation, to do what? Be of what? To be a what?
Good cheer.
Oh my goodness, it's right up on the board, it's underlined. Be of what?
Good cheer.
You are to be of good cheer. That is a decision. No matter what I'm going through, I must be of good cheer. Praise God.
Amen.
Hard to do, I know. But that is where I have to make a quality decision to say the joy of the Lord is my strength. Now sometimes you might have to sing it with clenched teeth. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You know, and then you keep saying it to yourself, and sooner or later, the Spirit of God begins to work in your heart, and you begin to sense that peace and that joy. And then you can start singing, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I mean, you know, I've gone through that. Praise God. You know, I like to tell my wife when I come home, you know, especially my kids, you know, because I work all day with computers. And I have to deal with computer problems all day long. I mean, my phone is constantly ringing or people coming down to my office because they're scared I'm going to ignore my phone. Troy, I need help. Troy. Mr. Edwards, Troy. And then, sometimes during the middle of the day, I'm dealing with problems and somebody from the church calls, Pastor! And then I come home, and all I want to do is just like forget about everything for just a moment and walk in the house. Daddy, I'm having a problem with my computer. Can you help me? I had to tell him when I walk in that door, leave me alone for about 15 to 20 minutes, please. Let me just get some things out of my head. Let me just sit down and watch the news or something. Glory to Jesus. But if my kids, I still have to learn to discipline myself. Even if I'm coming home tired and cranky, my kids walk up to me, I am not justified in screaming at them. Listen, you little idiots. You leave me alone. I told you 30 times. Don't mess with me when I come in that door. What I learned to do when they do that, when they forget, Terry usually reminds them when, didn't Daddy say leave us alone? But you know, most of the time I'm just, okay, whatever. But see, I had to learn to be of good cheer, not allow myself to get caught up in the circumstances and sin against God. Praise God.
Amen.
According to Webster's, the word tribulation means a trying experience. When you're going through those things in life, those circumstances, those situations, they are trying experiences, aren't they? They try you. But you know what? What are you supposed to do? Be of what?
Good cheer.
Be of good cheer. It's a decision. Now, the next thing. I grew up in a bad neighborhood. The reason why I act the way I do is because I grew up in a bad neighborhood. See, blaming circumstances. You know? Some of you might say, okay, I grew up in Liberia, in poverty, during the war. Somebody like me, I grew up in Trenton, New Jersey. I grew up in the hood, where there was gang banging, where there was crack selling and dope smoking. I grew up on the streets in that kind of area. You know, I grew up in where there was pimps and drunks and stuff like that. Yes, I grew up in a pretty bad neighborhood. Some of you grew up in South Providence where there was gang banging and stuff like that. Some of you grew up in Italian neighborhoods where there might have been mafias and things like of that nature. You know, but that doesn't excuse any behavior or any bad behavior on our part. Amen? Can I get a real amen?
Yeah.
Amen. We cannot justify bad behavior based on environment. You know why? Because you are a new creation in Christ Jesus. I thought I had that scripture on there. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, look at that very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 17, it says, therefore, if any man, say any man, be in Christ, say be in Christ.
Be in Christ.
How many of you are in Christ today?
Amen.
I am. Thank God I'm in Christ.
Amen.
That's the only way you can be saved is to be in Christ. He's the only way for salvation. So, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Say, new creature.
New creature.
Or a new creature, or another translation will say, a new creation. You are a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So, I am not the same Troy that grew up in Trenton, New Jersey, on Ward Avenue, in Wilbur section, where you better know how to fight or get your butt beat every single day. Or you better know somebody that knows how to fight. And you better hope he's always around when you're in trouble. I'm not that same Troy. I don't have to always try to jack somebody up to prove myself these days. Praise God.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, you know, many times I've learned I had to shut up. I mean, I'm telling you, there's been times, man, you know, I'd be wanting to, like, you know, get Trenton on people. And the Lord would tell me, you be quiet. You take it. And I'm sitting there, why I gotta take this? You take it. You honor me. That's what you need to do. You honor Christ. It don't matter what kind of neighborhood you grew up in. Praise God. The Bible tells us that we are. Oh, turn with me to the scripture. I want y'all to read the actual scripture. Ephesians chapter 4. You really need to read this. We are responsible. Now, if we know that we are new creations, we need to learn to put off. It's one thing positionally. Positionally, you are a new creation. But actively, you must learn to walk in that new creation that you have been created in. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 20. It says, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. It is your responsibility to put off that old man and to put on that new man. He's not saying tell God to do it, tell the Holy Spirit to do it. The Holy Spirit will help you, but you must make the decision that I will put off that old Troy that grew up in Trenton, New Jersey, that grew up on Ward Avenue, that grew up in Wilbur Section, where you had to learn how to fight, and you better stand up for yourself, and don't let nobody mess with you or take it, and don't take any guff from anybody. I had to learn to put off that Troy, that old Troy, and learn to put on that new creation that God made me in, that's created in righteousness and true holiness. And so I had to learn to just take it. Now, I can't say that I always did it 100% all my life, but I've gotten better and better and better over the years. Amen? Amen. Amen. And you can too. You don't have to act sinful just because of the way you grew up. Praise God. Amen? Amen. Due to the situation, this is the next one. Due to the situation, you have no choice but to lie, cheat, etc., or else you might lose your job, your spouse, your home, etc., etc. In other words, I have to sin in order to keep something or not to lose something. I have to compromise on my job in order to and displease God on my job or with my spouse or whatever, in order to keep what I got. Baby, let me tell you something. If you got the sin to keep that thing, it ain't worth having. I don't care what it is. If you can't trust God to keep it, to help you, and to enable you, and to keep you from having a sin in order to do it, it ain't worth it. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, in the book of Daniel, you had these three brothers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You find the story in Daniel chapter 3. They were in a situation that was going to not only cost them their jobs, but cost them their lives. Mm-hmm. One day, the king Nebuchadnezzar made this ugly looking statue and said that when the music plays, everyone in the kingdom will bow down and worship this God, small g. And so the music played, everybody bowed down, except for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because they believed in the true and living God, and they was not about to bow down to no false idol. Now these boys was in some high positions in the king's court. So it was reported to the king that, hey, your boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they ain't bowed down. You need to do something about this, Neb. So Neb called him. He said, listen, guys, I'm going to give y'all another chance. Because y'all are some good workers. You know, you're some of my top officials. I love you. I don't want nothing to happen to you. So we're going to play the music again. And I know you guys are going to bow down this time. You know what they said? Said, King, we ain't doing it. We ain't doing it. We don't care what you do to us. We ain't about to do it. So the king lit the fire in the furnace 7 times hotter than normal. And then he sent the boys into the fire. You know what? They were willing to die for their God than to compromise and bow down. Some of y'all claim that you'll die for Jesus. But when it comes to something on your job, you're quick to compromise. You're quick to lie. How can you die for Jesus in the midst of tribulation if you won't even tell the truth on your job? How can you say you're going to die for Jesus and you're going to lie to your wife or your husband just to make sure that they don't leave you or something like that? No, that's foolish. Well, these boys, they went and they got thrown into the fire, and the guy who threw them into the fire got burnt up himself. But those 3 boys got delivered. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, I remember it's only a couple months ago. I was in a situation where I could have lied. We were having an evaluation, and there were some things that I hadn't done. And, you know, me being the smart computer genius that I am, I could have fixed some records and did some stuff to make it look like I had already done it when I was supposed to have done it. But you know what? Just the thought of doing that bothered my conscience. I closed my office door and began praying during lunchtime. You know, you don't pray when you're supposed to be working. You pray during lunch. And I began to pray, just praying in other tongues, and then began to talk to God, to ask God, what can I do about this situation? And God told me, you're going to do this. I said, what? Tell the truth. I said, but Lord, telling the truth, that's going to give me a red flag. Red flag means that you have really messed up. And you have to report, like, every quarter that you are no longer messing up that problem. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to tell the truth. So when the evaluators came, I actually took them to the thing and showed it to them. And they were like, oh, boy. But they said, you know, Troy, because you brought it to our attention, we're going to try to see if we can get you get this thing resolved. Well, they couldn't get it resolved. They gave me the red flag. And when they reported it to my supervisor and the U.S. attorney, you know what they said? We don't care. We know what Troy does. He does it. He's working hard. He's working overtime. Don't ask for any pay. This red flag thing. And they came and told me, Troy, don't even worry about it. Don't even worry about it.
Amen.
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 You know why? Because I told the truth. Now, what if I had thought that I was so sneaky and I could fix this thing, and then I would have got caught? God would not have been in it.
Amen.
And I would be sitting here saying, saints, pray for me to get another job. The devil just messed me over, got me fired. No, I got me fired. Praise God.
Yes.
So you have to do the right thing, and God will work with you. Praise God.
Amen.
I have no choice. It's a part of my job. This is for some of the people who are in job situations that they shouldn't be in. You know, you're supposed to be a Christian, but the only job, you know, you're from South Africa, and you come over here, and the only job they can offer you is a job where you have to go work with nudie girls dancing all night. Or you have to work in a movie theater that shows bad movies, and you have to watch them. And you say, I can't, this is a part of my job, so I have no other choice in the matter. Yes, you do. You know what you can do? You can believe God for another job. Amen? You don't have to take a job that you know will compromise your Christian values. You don't have to do it. I will not take a... this is me personally. Maybe my ethics are just a little higher than a lot of others. But I will not take a job selling alcohol. No way. I will not work in a liquor store.
Amen.
I will not work in a bar. I will not do any of that. I will not do things like that because I know that I am selling poison. How could my conscience, how could I stand and say I love Jesus and still do that kind of thing? You know, we looked at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel was similar situation. He could have lost his job because they told him you wasn't supposed to pray. You ain't supposed to pray to nobody but to Darius, the king. He's the only king you're supposed to make a request to. But Daniel said, I don't care about my job. I will continue to pray to the God of Israel. And he continued to pray. And so they got him. They threw him into a lion's den. You know what Daniel did? He took one of the lions and made a pillow out of him and slept. And Darius came the next day and said, oh, Daniel, did your God save you? He said, yes, king. And so they pulled Daniel out and they threw the guys in who squealed on Daniel and the lions ate them instead. You see, David said this in Psalm 37:25. He said, I have been young and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Let me tell you something. You don't have to take a job that's compromised. If you are a righteous person, then you take righteous employment, praise God.
Amen.
Don't let the devil make you think, well, I ain't got no other choice but to take this kind of job.
Mm-hmm.
You take the right job. You take the job that's good for you, that's not going to hurt others. Amen?
Amen.
I know I'm not getting a lot of amens out of y'all today.
Amen.
All right. And you know you're making me feel bad now. I know y'all ready to go home, but we got to teach you some things. This is going to help you. This is going to help you to stay right with God. It's going to help you in your life. Let me tell you something. We're going to be talking about faith principles in the near future. You can believe God for a good job. You can believe God for a better job. God will promote you. He will bless you. You do not have to settle for the first thing that comes your way. And you do not have to compromise just because somebody says it's a part of your job. I have had people try to get me to do things on my job that I knew were wrong. And the first thing they try to tell me is, well, that's a part of your job. That's a part of your job description. I say, No, it ain't. And, you know, they would try to put me in bad light. But I'm going to tell you something. Every time I have put my foot down and said, I'm not doing that, they have always backed off. And matter of fact, I wish I could tell, I had enough time to tell you the story, but there was one boss I worked for when I was in Okinawa, and Taco knows who I'm talking about. He was, this man persecuted me for a number of years. I mean, and he tried to get me to do stuff, and I told him I ain't going to do it. That's the same man who later on, before he left, he said, you know what? He said, I wish I could pack Troy in my suitcase and take him with me to my next assignment. I wish I could tell you the whole story, but I'm going to tell you, if you don't compromise, you may go through some things for a while, but God will vindicate you in the end. The Bible says he will make even your enemies to be at peace with you.
Amen.
Let me go through a few more things. It's okay to hang out here. You won't get tempted. You're strong. No, don't do that. Don't allow circumstances, or don't put yourself in wrong circumstances, thinking that you're so strong in Christ that you won't get tempted. Praise God.
Amen.
Be careful of the devil's traps. I remember one time we were out witnessing and we were at this disco and, you know, passing out tracts to people, telling them about Jesus while they walking into the door of the disco. And this one guy, he comes up to us. He said, oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah, I'm born again. I love the Lord. I said, oh, yeah? He said, yeah. I said, what you doing going in there? Oh, you know, it's nothing wrong with going in there. I mean, you know, I can go out there and I can dance and I can be witnessing to people at the same time. I said, I don't think so, brother. How can you get in there shaking your behind to devilish music and gonna talk about you going to witness to somebody? And you know when people get in those type of places, you know the type of dancing they're doing, and it's all about sexuality. And fornicating with somebody that's not that you ain't supposed to be doing that with. No. Don't put yourself in situations like that, talking about, I'm just going there to be a witness. No, witness with First of all, witness with your life. Let people know that you are different. Amen?
Amen.
Let people know that you don't need that worldly entertainment to be happy. Glory to God.
Amen.
Oh, I wish we had so much more time. And it's like we were talking earlier about sex and stuff like that. And one of the things we learned from the Bible is flee fornication. Amen? Flee youthful lust. Get away from those circumstances that trap you. So you see 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1, and 2 Timothy 2, 22. You can write those down. And then we got the tendency to blame our sickness or mental condition. Let me go through a couple of those real quick, and then we're going to close out. First, my psychologist says that I have a sickness and not a sin problem. With enough time and treatment and medication, I can stop. Don't believe your psychologist. I took a course in psychology when I was in college, when I was taking my college classes. Let me tell you, psychology is built and based on secular evolutionary principles. It's based on the Darwinian principle of evolution, a lot of it. I don't believe in psychology. Now, some people might have a different view on it, but you know, some people like to believe you can mix psychology with the Bible. I don't believe in mixing worldly philosophy with the Word of God. And a lot of these medications, they're not helping people. Anybody who's dealt with them, with people who claim to be mentally ill, know that a lot of it, they know what they're doing, and they know when to act mentally ill. It's a convenience. But you, when you talk to them enough times and you know them, you know that they know right from wrong. So I don't accept that. Don't get me wrong. Sometimes you might get into a car accident or something. You might have brain damage. That's excusable. But there is, you know, some people have claimed that some people have chemical imbalances and stuff like that. But you know, when you, we don't have time to read all that. But there are psychologists or ex-psychologists who will tell you. There's a number of them. They left the profession because they couldn't. There was no support for that teaching about chemical imbalances. And they tell you that psychology is not really a science. But see, with the Word of God, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, you have the promises of God. And with the promises, you can cleanse yourself from all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. And you can perfect yourself in holiness. Stop blaming your mental condition.
Amen.
I have a chemical imbalance, therefore it is not sin, it is a medical issue. No, it's sin. Alright? Forsake those wicked thoughts. Get away from that. See, when you need to do is repent. Stop blaming your chemical imbalance. Repent and say, okay, I'm going to have a change of mind, a change of heart, and I'm going to turn away from that thing. I know this is not a popular one. I'm sick and I've suffered a lot, so I have a right to act this way. No, you don't. I don't care what you've gone through. You do not have a right to act that way. Job suffered quite a bit. He suffered sickness, the loss of his family, the loss of everything, and he still did not sin. Praise God. And then we got, last, the tendency to blame our ethnicity or our so-called orientation. We'll go through those really, really quick. Is my Irish temper, is because I'm black, etc.? No, it's not. Let's quit playing that game, okay? It's not because you're black or you're Irish or any of those type of things. Let me read this to you real quick from Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 from the Cotton Patch Bible. It says, quit playing false with one another, since you have shucked off the old man and his habits and have put on a new one which is constantly being remade to the specifications of his creator's pattern. The pattern for the new man is the same for a Negro and a white man, a church member and a non-church member, foreigner, Mexican, employee, employer. But Christ is everything and everybody. In other words, no excuse about your ethnicity. It's a cultural thing. I act or believe this way because of the culture I'm from. Because you might be from West India, you might be from Nepal, you might be from Japan, and this is the reason why you act this way, because of the culture. No, baby, that's not a good excuse. Praise God. Sin is sin. I don't care what culture you're from. I was born this way. primarily used of homosexuals. Well, you know, this is my orientation. I was born this way. Well, get born again. All right? The Bible teaches that the sin of homosexuality is a choice. In a sense, all of us were born in sin. All right? But this is why we need to get born again. And if we're born again, then we're new creations and our past is wiped away. A born-again Christian should not ever, if you are born again, you should not justify sin by claiming that you were born this way. All right? You should say, I'm born again this way now. To call my lifestyle a sin is nothing more than religious bigotry. Baloney. You are in sin. You know, sometimes people try to skip. You know, the elders and I were meeting yesterday and we were talking about the fact that, you know, they've come up with this law now that, this hate crimes law. And if I preach against, say, homosexuality, and I'm teaching you from the Bible, and one of y'all got really dumb and went out and beat up or possibly even killed a homosexual, do you know that I can get arrested? Do you know they can put me in jail for inciting you to murder? Do you know that if my preaching causes any kind of heartbreak to anybody, if a homosexual was to come in here and listen to me and I spoke out against homosexuality, do you know that they can sue me? Do you know that I don't care? Do you know that I will keep preaching this no matter what people, whatever laws they come out with? I will keep preaching against abortion. I will keep preaching against homosexuality. I will keep preaching against sin. Now, homosexuality is not a bigger sin than any other sin. But they are trying to legitimize that type of sin. That's the difference. See, I don't see adulterers going around with signs and having adultery. I'm an adulterer. Accept me. I don't even see drunkards doing that. It's okay to be drunk. No. But the homosexuals are trying to make their sin acceptable to society, and that you and I, as Christians, we're supposed to just turn a blind eye because we're supposed to be loving and kind. I love you enough to tell you that you are in sin and that you are on your way to hell. And if you don't stop it, then you need to, then you're going. That's where you're going. I love you that much that I would tell you that. It's not that I don't want to preach fire and brimstone. I love preaching those nice, wonderful messages that make people feel good. That's my favorite kind of message to preach. But I am called to preach it all. Preach the whole counsel of God, not just part of it. Oh, I love that. I want to preach on prosperity and tell you that God will get you that car that you... And he will. But you got to live right. And you got to be able... You got to be willing to bless somebody else. Amen?
Amen.
What if God gives you a car and tells you to give it away?
Huh?
That's what I'm talking about, sister. Anything God gives you is His. And so if you got it, you better be ready to give it up when He says give it up. That's because He's going to give you something better. All right, so we got two important truths about that. The Christian who struggles with sin never, ever buy into the temptation to call somebody else a bigot because they don't receive you. Amen? Or receive your excuses. And finally, that's the end.
Amen.
Amen? Are y'all clapping because that's the end? All right. Praise God. Did you get anything out of this at all? I know we stayed here a little later than we normally would, but I think you needed to learn some things today, and you need to learn to take responsibility for what God has assigned to you. Amen?
Amen.
Stand to your feet. I want to pray over you.